As God continues to bless each and every one of us now, I'm telling you, you're blessed. As God continues his blessings, start counting them. You will lose count. You won't even remember until we get past those pearly gates, Brother Randy, right in there. Then you, over an eternity, will be able to see exactly how God was working on your life, in your life, in different areas of your life. So you can praise him right now. Thank him not only for what he's going to do, but what he has done that you don't even know. Just thank God. God has always let us know that it's according to your heart. Did you know that when you're asking God for something in prayer, Jesus tells us, let it be done according to your heart, according to what you say. Let the words come from your heart, not from your mind. Let the words that you speak come from love through a heart that's been given to you by God. Every time you've gotten in trouble, it's because of a hateful word that comes from your tongue and you can't take it back. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. How am I ever going to get back in the house now? Those words that you utter are important words. Important to the point as God will bless your life because of them, or you will find your life in a mess because of them. Now, God is good at cleaning our messes up. Every one of us recognize that in our own life. How many things and how many times has God come in and wiped us clean? But he's always done it by the power of his Son. Now, let me explain salvation one more time here. It'll probably be more than one more time. Let me explain this to you. It is God's grace that he directly gives to me through my faith in his Son Jesus that makes me saved. You got it? God gives the grace. Jesus gave the blood. God gives the grace. Jesus gave us the pace to be able to walk in the life that God the Father has called you to. God said, pay attention to me. I love you. I want you to remember I will always be with you. One of the most horrible things that you will find, that I don't know whether you ever get over it or not, is when you understand in your heart in some situation where you betrayed God. You say, God, I accept you. You can't even say that without the grace of God giving you the strength to say it. Do you hear me? It is the grace of God, and God's grace gives you that charge. You're messed up. Now, that's called conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts. You make a choice. I know who I am. I know I'm a mess. I know I've fallen short. But I believe in Jesus, the Son of God, as my Savior. Grace from God, faith in Jesus. Many are battling today simply because they have no belief system at all. They don't even believe in themselves. I mean, it's just like a doorknob. I believe in that doorknob. I believe that doorknob don't turn, I'm not getting out the door. You see, God says, I want you. The you is on the inside of you. Hang with me. The real you is in here. You're just waiting to get out. The Lord said, I'm going to let you out, Larry. I want to encourage you. I want you to preach my word. When I get through with the word, at whatever time that's going to be, then I'm going to call you home. See, God does not pay any attention to time. Time doesn't mean anything. God created time for us. So time is nothing to God. But God looks at you and he says, I've charged you with being able to do this. We're going to be talking about Noah in a minute and a charge that God gave him. And Noah didn't die till he's 950 years old. Now that's getting elderly. But at 950 years old, then Noah finally dies. I told Hunter the other day, he worked on the fourth floor at the hospital, and all those elderly folks, and I said, now Hunter, you make sure you pay attention to how you treat the elderly on that floor. And he does. He loves the elderly. I said, because in another 20 to 30 years, your papa will be considered elder. Yeah, he did the same thing. He just chuckled. You see, God, though, doesn't pay any attention to time. God says, you're on my time. I like God's time. He's in control of it. God will give you a good time. You want to have the best time in your life? When you say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, now, how do you know this? Because all hell comes against you, doesn't it? You remember that? All the friends and all of this, they don't want to be your friend anymore. Oh, he's a religious freak. He went nuts. He calls himself a Christian now. And we just don't want to have anything to do with him unless we need to borrow money. That's the world. God says, he looks down on the world, and God paid attention to the world to the point that he looked in the heart of man. It was God himself who first declared the evil of the heart of man. Now listen to this. Genesis 6, 5 through 9. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great, isn't it? Whew. Still hanging in there, isn't it, wickedness? In the earth. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. God created and gave the greatest place that you would see on earth was the Garden of Eden. And man messed it up. Whatever man touches, man taints. And man messed it up. But God started looking at the hearts. And the world had gotten to the point to where God saw that the heart of every person in existence at this time was only evil continually, except for one man. That was Noah. Noah was the only one that you'll hear in Scripture that God looked at, and God knew when he looked at Noah that grace was going to be given to him, because Noah sought God's will. Noah walked with God. Here's you something to remember. As Noah walked with God for all those years, do you know there's no record in the Holy Scriptures to where Noah ever spoke directly to God? Remember how Job did. Remember how all the prophets did. No, Noah just listened. Good lesson for you folks. Noah just listened. Nowhere in Scripture will you find where Noah is talking back. Now, God, how you want me to do this? No. You'll see God telling him, Noah listening. Noah never questioning him. Now, you and I know that we're going to be having questions because we know that God told Noah, Noah, you're going to build an ark. What's an ark? Big boat, Noah. You're going to build it, and I'll tell you how. Noah didn't say what's an ark. Noah just didn't know what an ark was. And here's something that I always get a kick out of. When you see the scripture where God says, I'm going to cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights, it had never rained on earth before. He wouldn't know what rain was. So what would it take? Trust in the God who is telling him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and do it. Not one time will you read where Noah ever questioned what he was doing. He just did it. Long before Nike ever came into play. He just did it because God said so. It grieved his heart. What grieved his heart? Well, when God had finished creating, God looked at what he had created and he said, and it was good. Creation was good. What happened? The heart of man. Folks, I can't tell you how many Christians that I've seen fall after they become Christian. And how many times, and I can't tell you the number either of those who do make it back to God's house and all. But I have seen the attacks. And it comes in such different ways. Ways towards that you have promised God your faithfulness. But you turn away from God to the world and you seek the old feelings and the old ways. The very ways that you said that you were so thankful that God pulled you out of, yet you find yourself doing it again. A warning for you. Don't do that. For you will fall and you will bring so many down. When you profess to be a Christian, eyes will be upon you, watching you. How do you praise God? You listen to God's word and do what God says instead of going back to the old ways. Your old ways of going into the world, your old ways of adultery, your old ways of drink, your old ways of this and your old ways of that, let them be in the past. Noah, well, let's listen here. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. The potter can do with the pot whatever he pleases. From the face of the earth, both man and beast, only beast that we're going to make it's the ones that were in the ark. Man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry, I have made them. Man was corrupted. What's going to be the fall of nations and the world today? corruption of man that brings nations down, that brings families down, that brings individuals down. In verse 8, you will read, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Second part of verse 9 starts this way. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, meaning he knew God. Noah walked with God. So God said, okay, I'm going to destroy it all because of sin. But he also promised Noah something. Noah, I'm not going to do this again. God saw that man's heart was sinful continually. I promise I will never destroy everybody like this again with the flood. And I set my rainbow in the sky. Let me tell you something on that. Let me warn you about something. Don't you take an object that God has set as a promise and you use it for your own sin-sick purpose. The rainbow is a rainbow set in the heavens by God as a promise God the Creator made that never again will I flood the world. Don't you dare play with that and use it for your own evil intent. That's called blasphemy, and you will answer directly to God for it. I will warn you, just don't do it. And God looks, and God sees the heart of every man. And God had already set into motion the plan to come down himself. Man wasn't doing so hot at this. So God's coming down. But God is spirit. And we can't even come in the presence of God in his spirit, in the human body, and live, the scripture says. So God is going to take on the human existence. So therefore, Jesus, his son, Jesus is already in heaven with him. Jesus has got it made in heaven. Except he decided the only hope that the creation has is that a Savior come. And God, Jesus incarnate, comes to earth. Because God loved his creation. And us being the most important of his creation. And through that love, God says, I've come as my son for you. I'm going to take your guilt. I'm going to pay for you in my blood. I'm going to give you eternal life through my grace and your faith in my son, Jesus. Folks, faith can move mountains, and you can walk right through them because of God's grace. When you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, but don't you use, I warn you, don't you dare start playing games with your new salvation or the plan of salvation that God has given you. Don't you misuse his objects of love that he gives to us like each other. Don't you do that, because that blasphemes God, and you don't want that on your heart. Our hearts are sore. You know why? Well, I can tell you that most of the time, we are asking God, forgive me for that, forgive me for that. My whole prayer life deals with, forgive me, Lord. I wake up in the middle of the night, the first thing I say, forgive me, Father. Because I know I've done something wrong. And God looks at us and he says, that's what I want from you. You trust in me, I'll straighten the rest of it out. But be careful. And today it makes me, well, nervous for folks that misuse the objects that God has given us for sin. You don't want any part of that, folks. Okay. Jesus said that those who do not have a heart for God are going to worship God in vain. I don't care how many churches you belong to. I don't care about how many scriptures that you know. It's good that you learn them. It's good that you study the scripture. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? He is not keeping count of how many times you come to church. Yet we are commanded by him to assemble ourselves together. Why is that? For us to get peace of mind from one another. Listen, my failures in life, I get to put into the sermons to warn people, don't do that. It hurts. When you hit that wall, it hurts. Yes, the Lord picks me back up. Yes, he dusts me back off. Yes, he sticks the band-aids on. He glues me back together. But why am I going through all that pain? Why not trust him with your life in honesty? Don't you play games. In honesty. Lord, I come to you in a heart seeking forgiveness and with a heart of love. Help me to help others. He will do that, but he'll also set you down. I told you I got grounded for a year by God. Many years ago, I was grounded, and because I walked out on a church, I had too many relatives in it and too much garbage was going on, and I wanted nothing to do with it, and I walked out on that church. And I told you I resigned in the pulpit right after a sermon that Sunday. Told them I didn't want a meal. I was tired of the phoniness or any of that while I watched my dear wife try to slide underneath the pew directly in front of her. I got a lecture that day that I'll never forget because she threatened to kill me if I ever did it again. But you see, situations in life can get you to that point. God says, I will pick you up and carry you over that. I will help you. But Larry, you walked out on me. And from the time I was called to preach, I was preaching somewhere about every Sunday from that point on. Long before I was ever ordained or long before I'd finished school and all of this stuff, I was preaching somewhere all the time. When that happened to me in that church and I walked out without asking God about it first because of my anger, I didn't preach for a year. For 1 year, I did not preach. That was in 1993. I remember. And then lo and behold, in May 1994, I was called to come to this church to fill in. And I've been here ever since. Because I don't care what kind of hell comes at me. I know the God who called me. The same God who calls you to whatever it is, going on in your life, but you can't play with that calling. You cannot do it your way, because it's not going to work. You got to get your act together. You got to make sure that you're paying attention to God's voice and not your own. And God's looking at Noah. And God's looking at each one of us. Have a heart for God. If you don't, you worship God in vain. I don't care how many prayers you put up. If your heart's not in it, you're worshiping God in vain. Words mean nothing if they're empty. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. These people, Jesus now, here he is. He's looking at the Pharisees. He's looking at all the religious leaders who didn't even show up for his birth. They were there for the deaths so they could kill him and get him out of the way. These people, they draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. And listen, Jesus says, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. One of the downfall, greatest downfalls of the churches today is the doctrine of man in the church. Is a group getting together, let's vote this in and let's vote that out, let's vote him in, let's vote him out, her. Do you know what they've done? No, and you don't either. God is the one. This is his church, folks. It's not Larry Vance's. It's not yours. We use this building to come and unite together. But we together are the church. You can't get caught up in the sins of life and please God. Do you know why? Because you're hurting yourself, and God does not want you hurting. He loves you. He wants you strong and sturdy. He wants to fix us. And we seem to be doing everything we can to tear ourselves down, to tear a society apart, to destroy a country given to us by God. Jesus reminded us that the first commandment for man is that we have a love-powered heart for God. I don't care what the temptation is. Is your love for God stronger than that temptation? Is your love for God so heartfelt in you that it's going to have more power with you than that temptation out there that's leading you away from him? God didn't put that temptation there. You're finding it on your own. Back off, or you'll find the bottom of the ditch gets harder every time you fall into it. Mark 12, verse 30. Here it is. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't try to give him part of your heart. Give him the whole thing. He saved all of you, didn't he? Give him your heart with all your soul. That human condition of you. That heart represents your spirit, the real you inside there. That soul is the physical. It's the you out here, that human soul's walking. When you will listen to a pilot, when he's reporting in, he always says, and we have 100 and however many souls on board. That represents the people. And with all your mind, folks, I got news for you. You can be 3/4 of the way out of your mind. You give God that other fourth that is there, and I guarantee you, you got it made. God takes care of it anyway. You give God what you have. and watch it multiply. Watch it. He will pour out, open the door, the gates of heaven, and pour out such a blessing on you. You know why it's overflowing? For you to give it away. You cannot give God. So therefore, Lord, my mind's not very good anymore. But what a God I give to you. But you got enough sense not to do the dumb things you used to. Back off. And with all your strength, use the strength you have left. I don't have much left. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it for the next 20 to 30 years, Hunter, but I do know my legs hurt so bad sometimes. That's the reason I got a stool over here. We were in yesterday. I had to do a wedding. I was in yesterday, and Faye said, watch your legs because they get so bad on me sometimes since the immunotherapy. And she said, your high chair is sitting over there. I said, God. I mean, I get it from all sides on that. But God says, I'm watching after you. All your strength, whatever strength you have, you give that to me, I'll see to it you can stand through the battle. This is the first commandment. And later you'll hear, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me remind you, Jesus changed that one. He added to it. You got it? We know of the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus comes along and he says, now a new commandment I give you. Love as I have loved you. Because you're waking up too many days, you're not too happy with yourself. You don't love you, you ain't gonna love anybody else that day either. But you love like I have loved you. And when you do that, you'll find a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because the heart of God always remains on the heart of man. The heart of God remains. Man's heart is dependent on God's heart. So man's heart will always be on God's heart. He loves us. Appreciate it. But don't you dare play the game. God's not playing. That's God's word. It doesn't get better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, as you touch our lives now, you will help us to look at our own life, see what we're doing. And Father, if we are misusing anything, if we are not using what you have given us, whatever the problem is, bring us to the realization so that we will know to turn from that before it destroys our witness. And Father, that we can lead the lost to your Son Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the stories of Scripture. Thank you for the man Noah, who just listened to what you said and he did it. Thank you for that type of personality, Father. Give us courage now to be that type of man or woman, that we listen to you and we follow what you tell us to do. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.